Good morning, church. Good morning. It's wonderful to see you. And happy Pentecost Sunday. Whoop. Awesome, awesome. Please stand with us. And before we kick off this morning, why don't you just greet someone to your left or to your right, welcome them to church this morning. Jesus said that where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them. And we're here to, you know, celebrate the promise, the power, and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's what we're here for this morning. Someone, let's lift up the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit this morning.
Sing it again. I got greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God,
and if our God, come on.
And if our God is with
come on.
Us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what? One more time, say. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand out? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, fire for
welcome you. We welcome you in praise. We welcome you in praise. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place. We welcome you in praise. We welcome you in praise. Almighty God of love, we welcomed in this place. To you our hearts, to you our hearts are open, nothing you is hidden, you are our one desire. You alone are holy, only you are worthy, God, let your fire fall. To you our hearts are open, nothing here is hidden, you are our one desire. Alone and holy, only you are worthy, God, let your fire fall today. Oh. We welcome you. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, we welcome you in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise, Almighty God of love. We welcome, let every heart adore, let every soul awake, Almighty God of love. We welcome you in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise, Almighty God of love. Be welcomed in this place. Be welcomed in this place, Lord. We welcome you. Yeah. Sing every voice. To you our hearts are open. To you our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. You alone are holy. Only your fire fall down. To you our hearts are open, nothing here is hidden, you are our one desire. You alone are holy, only you are worthy, God, your fire fall down. Let your fire fall. Welcome you. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love. That's it. Go ahead. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love. We welcome in this place. Let every heart adore. Let every soul awake. Almighty God of love, be welcome in this. Let every heart adore, let every soul awake. Almighty God of love, be welcomed in this place, in this place.
Amen. Amen. He is welcome in this place this morning, and you're welcome in this place this morning. Why don't you greet one another as you're seated today? Thank you. You may be seated. Well, good morning. Nice to see you today. Thank you. Nice to be seen on this beautiful Sunday morning, and want to welcome all of you who have gathered in this place this morning. As Jono mentioned, it's Pentecost Sunday, and we'll be focusing on that throughout our service this morning, and we just are so delighted that you're here with us. And for those of you who are joining us via live stream today, we want to welcome you too, and we're glad that you're here with us on this beautiful morning. If this is the first time that you've been at Evangel, we want to extend a special welcome to you. And we just want to offer to you an opportunity for us to come alongside and support you and assist you and just be there with you if there's any way that we can be of help. And so we ask that if that's something that you'd like to do, you can fill out a card, a connection card that's right in the pew seat in front of you, and you can just fill that out and take it to the information desk at the end of the service in the foyer, and someone will be there to take that from you and to leave a small gift with you, and we'll be prompt to follow up should you desire us to do that. So we're just delighted that you're here today. Just a couple of announcements. There will be coffee after the service this morning, if you want to stay around for a little while and just drink some coffee and talk to some people, you can do that. I also know that they also serve coffee in other places. Like, I see churches that advertise, you know, come to our church, we serve Starbucks. I say, yeah, and you know where else they serve Starbucks? At Starbucks, right? So, but if you're welcome to, if you want to stay and have coffee and spend some time, there will be coffee this morning. I want to remind you as well that coming up on Saturday, June the 10th, is the Open Hands Global Garage Sale, and I see that some of you have begun to bring some of your stuff in, and if there are some things that you would like to donate to that garage sale, you can bring it in on the Sundays leading up, which I believe is only one more Sunday after today, if my math in my head is correct. They don't do math in Bible college, by the way, so you have to learn that outside of your formal education there. So, but I believe there's one more Sunday after today, and also the Friday before, they will be here. The team will be here all day on the Friday during the day, and you can drop by with your stuff there if you so desire. So just keep that in mind. If you have children that are newborn up to age 3, there is a nursery that's available all through the service. You just go through these doors and down at the bottom of the stairs, and you'll find it right there at the bottom of the stairs. You can leave your child there at any point to be cared for. And also for those who have children that are age 4 up to grade 5, you can leave at this time. Just come around the side here. Volunteers will be over to the side. They'll take you downstairs and just pick your children up at the end of the service. And also, we're going to receive our tithes and offerings at this time. So thank you for your continued generosity. And if you want to give via e-transfer electronically today, just send it to giving@epcoakville.com. God bless you, and just continue to worship Him this morning.
You, Lord, for your mercy never fails me, and all my days, and I've been held by your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God.
I love you, Lord.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me, and all my days, and I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, and I will sing of the goodness.
Still stand together all my life.
Sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after me. Your goodness is running after me. With my life laid down, surrender now, I give you everything. He's running after me. Come on, let's lift this up. Your goodness is running after. He's running after me. Thank you, Lord. Your goodness is running after. He's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything, Lord. Your goodness is running after. He's running after me. Your goodness is running after. He's running after me. Your goodness is running after. He's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. And I give you everything. Your goodness is running after. He's running after to me.
All my life.
Cause all my life you have. All my life you have been so, so good. Yeah. With every breath that I am a, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. Yes, I will, Lord, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Sing that one more time. All my life.
And all my life. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God.
Love you, Lord.
We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We adore you, Lord. There is none higher. There is none greater. We love you, Lord. You're always good. You're always gracious, compassionate. And I will sing of the goodness of the Lord. I will sing of the goodness of the Lord. And I exalt thee. I exalt thee. And I exalt thee. And I exalt thee.
To the Father this morning, and I exalt thee, and I exalt thee, Jesus, and I exalt thee, and oh how I love you. Sing that. And how I love you. And how I love you. And how I love you. Oh. And sing these words over yourself. How he loves me. And how he loves me. And how he loves me. And how he loves me. Yes, he does.
That is who you are. Say that is who you are.
are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you. I worship you. Let's sing that again. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, you're mending every heart. I worship you. I worship you. For you are the way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Listen. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Even when I don't see it, you're working. And even if I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. And even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop in heaven, even when, Lord, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop. One more time, sing. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop. You never stop. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. A way maker you are. A way maker.
Miracle worker. Promise keeper. Light in the darkness. My God. That is who you are.
Oh, you are. Way maker. Miracle worker. Promise keeper. Light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. You're making a way where there seems no way. You're making the path straight. Glory be to God most high. Bless your name. Our Father, all of heaven roars your name. Sing louder. Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching earth. The sound of our Father. Our Father, all of heaven roars your name. Sing aloud. Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching earth. The sound of heaven touching earth. Spirit break out. Break our walls down. Spirit, break out. Heaven, come down. King Jesus, come on.
King Jesus, you're the name we lift in high. Your glory shaking up the earth and sky. Revival, we want to see your kingdom here. We want to see King Jesus, King Jesus, you're the name we lift in high. Your glory shaking up the earth and sky. Revival, we want to see your kingdom here. We want a spirit break out. Break out walls down, Lord. Spirit, break out. Heaven, come down. Just a voice, Spirit, break. Spirit, break out. Break out walls down. Spirit, break out. Heaven, come down. One more time. Spirit, break out. Break out walls down. Spirit, break out. Heaven, come down.
Let's make this our prayer. King Jesus.
King Jesus, you're the name we lift in high. Your glory shaking up the earth and sky. Revival, we want to see your kingdom here. We want to see King Jesus, King Jesus. You're the name we lift in high. Your glory shaking up the earth and sky. Revival, we want to see your kingdom here. 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 Here among us.
Why don't you just in this moment, let's just pray for the kingdom to break in that area where you need the kingdom to break in. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your workplace. Maybe you have friends, family that are not saved. Why don't you just lift up your voice and pray for God's kingdom to break in.
Yeah. Want to see your kingdom here. King Jesus. Bring your kingdom here.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Our scripture reading this morning is found in Matthew 27, verses 50 to 53. It says, "And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs were open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people." Thank you, you may be seated. Thank you, Jono and worship team, for leading us so beautifully this morning. Our message today is a little unusual, I suppose, in the sense that, well, this very scripture is a little unusual, one that we sometimes don't really focus on a lot. And a little later in the service, the application of my sermon is going to come in the form of two brief interviews to bring home the point. Now, I want you to know that in my head and in my heart, all of these things work together. But sometimes my wife reminds me that I'm not as clear as I think I am. And so that may be the case. But I think I have a, and believe I have a clear path today. So if you're not following, I think it's your fault. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. Have you ever had the opportunity to experience a symphony orchestra live in person? Anybody ever? Yeah? Wow. Well, I have once, and it was under very unusual circumstances. Again, surprise, right? I had flown into Amsterdam with the ministry team, met up with a ministry colleague there, and we drove across Germany into Poland, and I spent 5 days leading this team doing ministry there. And we were on our way back to Amsterdam so we could fly back home, and we stopped in the city of Dresden, Germany, a beautiful city that had suffered significant damage from Allied bombing during World War II. It was evening, and I walked along a street lined with shops and thinking that, much like North America, things stayed open really late, but no, everything had closed at 5 p.m. because, you know, most Europeans know how to not kill themselves to live this life. And so everything was closed, and as I walked along, I began to hear some of the most beautiful music I'd ever heard. And so I followed the sound down the street, and as I followed it, I found myself going through an opening into a courtyard surrounded with beautiful architecture. And rows of, some of you are really jealous now because you're thinking I just went to the Toronto Symphony, but no, I know this is really spectacular. I told you it was unusual. And there were rows of white chairs that had been set out. I should turn this on if it's going to work. There had been rows of, you can, if you don't mind controlling that for me, Jared, because, yeah, there you go, that had been set out, and at the front was this symphony orchestra, and they were doing a free outdoor concert, and it was beautiful. And surprisingly, there were only a few people there. And so I was able to sit and just enjoy every moment of it and take it all in. The word symphony has its roots in the Greek meaning sounding together or harmony of sound. And that's what a symphony is. It's a complicated, complex, multi-part musical composition coming together in just beautiful harmony. In a full symphony, there are 44 different instruments. There are over 100 players led by one conductor with, you know, multiple pieces and parts, and they're just all happening at once, working together in harmony to reach a desired outcome. Now, when I reflect on God's working, when I think about God's leading in our lives and in our families, in, you know, in our church, in our world, when I think about that, to me, it reminds me of a fine-tuned symphony where God is the master conductor, and sometimes we can only see the part that directly affects us. Yet there are so many other parts that are happening, and at certain moments, we get to see the bigger picture, get to hear the full sound of what it is he's doing with the multiple parts coming together and converging. Well, today is Pentecost Sunday, and our scripture is a reminder of how God is at work in the midst of the darkness and despair and hopelessness of life as the Holy Spirit works to bring all the seemingly disjointed pieces into a beautiful symphony of harmony and purpose. And so let's consider our scripture just for a few moments, specifically the major things that are happening in symphony here to bring about God's purpose. And the first thing I want us to consider is the death of Jesus, because this scripture is found within Matthew's account of that. All four of the New Testament Gospels provide a consistent account of the death of Jesus on the cross. Yet each one of them gives specific details that are important to the particular audience that they are writing to. And so Matthew is writing to Jewish Christians, Jewish followers of Jesus, and those he hopes that are Jews that will become followers of Jesus. And so because of this, he takes great effort in his gospel to connect the account of Jesus back to the Old Testament prophecies that the Jews can relate to. And so they can understand then exactly what happened in this moment when Jesus died. That's important for him to communicate in light of his audience. So in light of this, he records the death of Jesus with details that the others don't include. Mark and Luke both record the moment of Jesus' death with the same words. They say he breathed his last. In other words, he died. It was the end of his life. He stopped breathing. That's what they tell us. But Matthew describes the moment of Jesus' death in a very unique way, with different words. He uses different words. And in the actual original language, it says this: he let go the spirit. He let go the spirit. He let go the pneuma, which is the Greek word for Holy Spirit. When Matthew uses the word pneuma, spirit, in this manner all through his gospel, it is always without fail in reference to the Holy Spirit. And so the first event after Jesus... So Jesus, instead of saying he died, it says he released the Spirit. And the first event after Jesus released the Spirit at his death was the tearing of the curtain or veil in the temple. It was a downward tear that happened supernaturally from top to the bottom. This was an act of God. This was not an act of man. This was a supernatural divine act at the moment when Jesus released the Spirit. The temple curtain separated the holy place of God's presence from the people. Only the priests could enter beyond the veil, and then only under certain circumstances at certain times. And so this veil served as a barrier between the people and God's presence. And so the tearing of the veil signified, first of all, the end of the function of the temple. What the temple had functioned as up to that moment was no longer necessary. The function of sacrifice and the earthly priestly role for the forgiveness of sins, no longer needed. The Lamb of God had been slain, and his was a superior sacrifice. His death covered the sins of all mankind for all time. No further sacrifice was needed. It was over. It was finished. The old covenant temple order had ended, and the new covenant that Jesus had talked about with his disciples on the night before had been established. Now, we often look at this event solely as the opportunity for us to now access the presence of God directly because of Jesus' sacrifice, which is true. That is true. But I believe there is more happening here, and Matthew wants us to see that. Multiple things are happening in symphony in this moment to bring about God's full purpose. Yes, Jesus died for all sins. And yes, God is now acceptable to all. If that was the end of it, that would be enough. But there's more. Matthew also wants us to see that at the moment of Jesus' death, the Holy Spirit breaks out to go and be with the community that God desires to restore. Last week, we sang for the first time here that song that we sang this morning, Spirit Break Out. And as I heard it, I thought, yes, that is theologically correct, because that is what's happening in Matthew's gospel the moment Jesus died. The Spirit was breaking out. And as the Holy Spirit breaks out and goes among the community, some things are happening. The earth shook. The rocks broke apart. And some tombs were open, because most tombs were in the rock. And even some holy people who had died were raised to life. And so there's no question, this all seems rather unusual to be putting these details here. And we're not told who these people are, other than that they were just devout persons from Israel's past. We don't know how long they lived after this. We really don't know any other details about them. But we do know that this is not just a random, disconnected information. You know, in 18 years of being an adjunct faculty, I've read some interesting things in a paper that's supposed to be 1,500 words, because a student runs out of ideas at 1,200 words and just starts writing stuff to have 1,500 words. That's not what's happening here. This is not some random filler, disconnected information. Matthew is writing this account against the backdrop of Ezekiel's prophecy from the Old Testament, and is raising, and the raising of these holy ones that we see here only in Matthew's account is symbolic and a reminder of the fulfillment of Ezekiel's prophecy of the Spirit bringing life. So let's just take a quick look at that. Ezekiel was an Old Testament prophet during the time of the Jewish exile in Babylon. He was living among some of the Jewish exiles in the settlement there. Israel was exiled because of their continued rebellion, their disobedience against God, and they ended up in exile. And in the book of Ezekiel, the exile reality is often compared to the state of death. That being in exile was like being dead, was the state of death. And so God provided Ezekiel with a vision so he could prophesy to Israel. Ezekiel was led by the Spirit to the middle of a valley. And we often have, many of us have heard this story before, and oftentimes when I hear it talked about, it's somewhat taken out of context, but he's led by the Spirit to the middle of the valley, and the valley was full of dry bones, and they had been dead for a long time. And the bones represented Israel's spiritual death, their broken covenant with God. That's what these bones represented. Israel was without hope. They were cut off from their relationship with God. And so during the vision, God asked Ezekiel a question. He said, look at all these dried up bones, this death that's in front of you. Could these bones ever live again? And Ezekiel's answer appears somewhat political, yet honest. He said, well, only God knows if these bones can live again. And then God commanded him to prophesy to these dried up dead bones. And he said, you know, this is what he said. I will make breath. I will make, and the word breath there is Holy Spirit. I will make the Holy Spirit to enter you and you will come to life. Muscles and tendons and skin will form. And then I will breathe my Spirit into you. And we see this in Genesis as well. And you will come to life. And then we're told there was a great noise in this vision, a rattling sound, and bones began to come together. Tendons and muscles and skin formed. But it's interesting that all that took place and it looked like a human being's, but there was still no life there because there was no Spirit. The Spirit hadn't breathed life into them. And then the Spirit came and entered them and they came to life. And in the vision, they stood up. And then God explained the vision to Ezekiel. He said, listen, the dry bones, they represent my people who are spiritually dead from their rebellion and their sin. These are my people without hope. But God said, I am going to open their graves. I am going to end their exile. I am going to put my spirit in them, and I'm going to restore my relationship with my people. And so Ezekiel, this is a vision of what I'm going to do. And so Ezekiel's vision painted this imagery of death to describe the spiritual condition of God's people, but it included a promise that someday life would be restored to God's people. Relationship with God would be restored, and that death would turn to life. Spiritual death would turn to spiritual life. The Holy Spirit was promised to bring life to God's people in the future. And now the Holy Spirit in our scripture today, in Matthew's account, is fulfilling that prophecy by bringing spiritual life back to God's people at the moment of Jesus' death. The moment of hope had arrived. This was a significant moment in Jewish history. The moment of hope had arrived. Relationship with God, genuine, true relationship with God, was now possible because of the death of Jesus and the Spirit of God moving and bringing life, the Holy Spirit. And they were working in symphony. The Holy Spirit was working in symphony with Jesus on the cross to give true spiritual life. Jewish Christians reading Matthew's account of the death of Jesus would easily make the connection between the promise of God made in Ezekiel's prophecy to restore relationship and the fulfillment of that promise through the death of Jesus as he brings life to the dry bones. For us, it just seems like this is an odd thing to put here. Why would he include it? But for them, it would be, oh, okay, I see it. And so there's a lot going on here. Jesus is canceling sin. Jesus is making relationship possible. The Holy Spirit is breaking out and going amongst God's people, and miraculous things are happening, and life, spiritual life, is being restored, just as God had promised it. Folks, when God is working, when God is leading in our lives, when God is leading in our families, when God is leading in our church and in our world, sometimes we can only see certain parts. You know, sometimes we feel like the person who holds the triangle, like you wait the whole time and you just get to ding it once, you know? Like we can't see all and be a part of all the parts. Sometimes we can only see certain parts, the parts that are right in front of us. Yet there are so many parts. Again, we sang it this morning. When I can't see it, you're working, right? When I don't feel it, you're working. And so that's what we're seeing here in this symphony of God's leading, that there are so many parts that are a part of what God is doing that are happening. And what's incredible is that there are certain moments. And perhaps we've had those moments, and my experience is mostly they're in hindsight. But there are certain moments when you get a glimpse of the bigger picture of what he's doing, because all of a sudden these parts start to come together and they converge, and like the Jewish readers of Matthew go, oh, okay, now I get it. Okay, now I see it. It wasn't just that one thing that I've been so fixated on. There was so much more that God was doing and in his working and his plan, and we get in those moments to just get a glimpse of that. Now, for our application this morning, I would like to conduct two short interviews. And the reason we decided to do this way is because I wanted to share with you two examples of God being at work here at EPC. I believe God is at work here. Good. So six others of you believe the same, and that's really good. We only need six. I mean, seriously. God is at work. God is bringing the pieces together, and sometimes we're so fixated on certain parts but then once in a while, we have moments where we go, oh. And so I want to share a couple of those moments with you this morning, that reminding us that God is in control and he's at work. He is at work, and he's leading us, and he's bringing life to us. And so my first interview is going to be Jono. So I'm going to invite you to come up, and we're going to have a little chat this morning. I'm going to sit down over here. All right. Do you know how to turn a microphone on? I think you do. Yeah, push it. Hold it. Now push and hold. Okay, there you go. You're good. We good? Keep talking.
Okay. Oh, there we are.
There we go. Excellent. So for those of you who, if you've been around here a few weeks, you've had an opportunity to be a part of worship that's been led by Jono. And so for those of you who've never been here before, this is Jono Miller and Jonathan Miller. And Jonathan is new to EPC and new to leading us. And so I thought it would be a good idea to share a little bit today, for us to share a little, but mostly just so we can show how God has been working in this particular situation. Yeah. So you come here from the UK,
yes.
Just moved here in December, and you were a part of worship ministry before you came.
Right.
And your home church was Kensington Temple in London. So tell us a little bit about like how you were involved in worship there and like sort of prior to coming here.
Yeah, so first of all, let me say, Shannon, Jennifer, thank you so much for your welcome, making us feel at home. Really, really grateful for that. And we've met so many of you already over the last few weeks, and just grateful to meet you and you know just receiving us in such a warm way. So thank you. So we were part of, and my wife is just over there, and my son, Seth. So we were involved at Kensington Temple from the year 2009. So about 13 years on staff, serving in all different kind of ways. And we had moved from a city called my hometown, which our hometown, both my wife's and I, Peterborough, which is north of London, kind of the same size of Oakville. And so we've been involved in ministry there, in kind of a smaller context. And then moved to KT in 2009. And I have to say that we really, really felt like being thrown in the deep end, because they were in the middle of a two-year of evangelistic and revival meetings, seven nights a week.
Wow.
For 2 years. And so I was thrown in the middle of that. And, you know, leading worship about three, four times a week. And just seeing God move in that two-year period, about 5,000 people came to Christ. And so it was an amazing move to kind of, you know, to come to London, but also to experience that at KT. And so KT is quite a large Pentecostal church in the heart of London, Notting Hill. Anybody been to Notting Hill before?
I've seen the movie, I think.
You've seen the movie? Okay. Yeah. Portobello Road and all of that. And so really that kind of set the scenes. I was involved in worship leading, worship directing, pastoring, teaching. I was a lecturer at the Bible school we had. And just was a joy just to serve in all kinds of different contexts. It's a church of about 120 nationalities, and just was... which was something new to us, you know, to be able to experience all of that. You know, when I came, I was thinking this is kind of like the Revelation, you know, with all the tribes, tongues, and nations all come together and worship the Lord. And so it was great for us. So 13 years.
And encourage, like, younger people. I found out from you last week, you didn't even, like, pick up a guitar until you were 15.
Yeah, I feel like my whole journey into worship was kind of, like, not the norm. Up until my mid-teens... really had no music, no experience of music. I didn't learn music in school, and we had a little bit of that in the family with my parents. But it wasn't until my mid-teens that all of a sudden I felt the Lord moving upon my heart, and it was for me a supernatural time, because my focus, my direction was football. That was where I saw my future.
Soccer. No, I'll do the interpreting.
You wouldn't think American football at me with this.
Defensive lineman, yeah.
I was going in one direction, and all of a sudden, the Lord got a hold of my heart and gave me a passion for music out of nowhere. I mean, it was just incredible. And I think of those days, and, you know, very fondly, and the Lord managed to kind of really just wove me in the local church, The way it happened, short story, is the worship leader of the church, of which we were part of, invited me to a rehearsal, just randomly. They said, do you want to come to a music rehearsal? So I thought, well, that's a little strange. You know, that's not really what I do. Anyway, I went and I learned a few beats on the drums, and that was it. I was sold. And I started learning instrument by instrument. I was very self-taught. I started learning worship songs. And so for me, it was just an incredible, you know, change of direction. And I learned to lead worship in the house of prayer, where I, you know, I discovered God for myself and really just was a really key time as part of my development. And then eventually it worked up the courage to sing it in front of people, which again, for me, was I was a very timid person. But anyway, you know, the Holy Spirit was helped me in those ways and helped me with various instruments. And so my first instrument is not actually guitar. It's actually drums. So any drummer
okay.
out there, come on.
Carlina's smiling.
Yeah. So but I don't think any worship leader would like me to get on the drums now. It's been a while. But anyway, so that's kind of my background.
So, and I mean, you know, the one thing I've learned about you over the last number of weeks is you're a very humble person. But I know that you've written some of your own stuff, and if we went on, like, if I go on Spotify, I can download a song list of all of your original stuff and hear that. So you've had quite a background. So as mentioned, you moved to Oakville with your family, and you mentioned already Laura and Seth is here, and your other son Evan is not here with you today, but. So you moved here in December. So, like, what brought you to Oakville? What brought you to Canada?
Yeah, so last summer, everything's been such a quick turnaround. I mean, you know, Canada was never on the radar. That was never, you know, we ever thought that we're going to be moving here. And so we've been, during the summer, there were a number of moving parts. We were praying. We were seeking God about what was the next steps. And so, again, I was going in a certain direction. I was about to go back into full-time ministry at KT. But at the same time, really just sensing, you know, Lord, what are you saying? What are you doing? And just trying to be flexible, remain open to what he was saying. And we, you know, in, as the Bible says, just ask other people to pray and just for their wisdom and counsel. And about August time, we were away, actually, in Cyprus. We were on a holiday. And we got got an email with an invitation to relocate to Toronto through her work. And so that's what kind of set things in Mo. We started praying if that was the will of God for us and what was the best thing for us as a family. And and so that was it. And then we thought, okay, when? And so we're thinking we could kind of extend this and move this till next year, but we thought no, we'll leave in December, which a week before Christmas, the coldest time ever. We were adjusting to the climate here, but so yeah, that's how it all came about. But I think behind just that, the work thing for my wife and the relocate was just a sense of it wasn't just that. There was something that we felt about the kingdom at work. You know, that God wanted something for us to be a part of, to serve the kingdom here in Canada. And so here we came to Oakville. Wow. Here we are.
Just in the neighborhood.
Yeah, in the neighborhood. Yeah, literally. Yeah.
So what people may not know is that you actually work at Crossroads Communications.
Right.
Like, you have a real job.
Yeah.
So you work at Crossroads Communications. So what brought you and your family to EPC on a Sunday morning?
Right, yeah. So
because you were coming here a few times before this role opened up.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, when you do an international relocate, it's, you know, there's so many things, isn't there? So many different moving parts to have to consider. There's schooling, there's housing, and all of that. And we were just really grateful to the Lord for all the breakthroughs that had happened up until, you know, to the point of from when we... from last summer up until here, for all the doors that have opened for us. But we were praying whilst we're being here for a few months, just praying, Lord, where's our new kind of home? Where do you want us to be based? And so we kind of just, we were looking around, looked at a number of churches, and
a number of times I had driven down this road here. What's this road street called?
Rebecca Street.
Rebecca Street. And I had passed, you know, past this building, and I thought to myself, I wonder what the Lord is doing in EPC. And so thought, hey, we might as well check this church out. And I'd heard a number of recommendations. Just a few little signals that we thought this is probably a good place to come and check out. So we came, and came through the doors, found our seat, and then lo and behold, Phoebe, where's Phoebe? I don't know if she's here. Right. Phoebe, there she is. Phoebe walked, kind of locked eyes as we came in, and did all the highs, came to our seats, and she comes and follows us, and asks us a question, are you from London? I think this is how it went, right, Phoebe? So yeah, so are you from London? It's like, okay, it's random. This is like a prophetic moment. Should I prepare myself for receive the word of the Lord? Come on, let's go.
That's Phoebe's job on the hospitality.
And then she asked us, are you from Kensington Temple? And then I thought, okay, right, it's getting serious now. I hope she's not going to ask me any more deep questions. But And so she says, I'm Harry's sister. And at that point, I was quite struck because she said, I'm Harry's sister. Harry is went on to be with the Lord. But he was a worship leader at Kensington Temple. He was a good friend. I had known him for quite a number of years since I joined Kensington Temple Ministry. Great spirit, great heart, amazing, just ambassador for being someone who was chasing hard after God. And I had some very precious moments with him towards the end of his life. And I remember one particular moment where I was in his home, and he was in his bed, and he just was talking about the heart of worship.
Sorry, I think we lost you there.
Okay. Are we good?
We good? Okay, yeah.
Cool.
You're back.
And he was talking about the heart of worship. He said, Johnny, that's what it's all about. You know, it's not about all the other stuff. It's just about the heart of worship. If we can just get that right, we'll be fine. And so it's a testament to your brother, Phoebe, an incredible heart. And he served at KT, and I led worship at his funeral as well. And so when that moment happened, I thought, okay, this is a signal. This feels like a moment where God could be connecting us here. But that aside, and signals and recommendations, ultimately just felt like a real sense, a witness that.
So what you're saying, it was God, not the preaching.
Right.
That's what I'm hearing.
It was the preaching.
That's what I'm hearing.
And so the connections were made, of course, met you both, and eventually, of course, got to meet and connect over. Yeah.
So that's how God's working in your section of the orchestra, right? He's orchestrating all of that in your guys' lives. And so for us, we were in a situation where, we had been for quite some time in this intermediary time where, we were trying to figure out where we were going from a worship perspective. And at the time, we were really appreciative of Andrew, and Andrew was a recent graduate who said he could give us a few months and ended up giving us a little more up to getting married and then moving off to do ministry. And so as that time was getting down, we were at the same time that all this was happening with you, we were looking for, where's the next thing? And to be honest, I was pretty stressed about it, because I really lack a lot of faith, really, if the truth be told. So I was feeling stressed, and when people come up and ask me, it didn't help, so what are we doing when Andrew leaves? And you just pull the Abraham, right? God will provide, right? And I probably felt the same as Abraham, like, I don't know what that means, and probably in 15 minutes this is going to all be over. But feeling the stress of that, but just believing, and we were praying in different groups and just saying, you know what, God, this is important. And as we move forward, and so we just decided that we would just see what God was going to do. So we put this out there in a lot of different places, and got a lot of applications from Africa. If we were willing to relocate them, they would have moved here from Africa.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so in that process, it was interesting because Phoebe also came up to me on that morning, and she was really excited. And she was telling me all about, you know, how you work with her brother, and, you know, and she was really excited about it. And I said to her, "Oh, if you have any video, send it over to me later this afternoon." So, you know, she did. But you and I were talking, and I just kind of threw it out there because I'm not one to, well, you know, who knows what God's doing here. So I just said, "Hey, by the way, we're actually looking for someone to, you know, to lead worship three times a month." And and you were like, "Oh, that's really interesting. You should send that over to me." Right. Yeah. And to be honest, I thought you were just being really gracious, you know? Yeah. I just thought, yeah, if he's who she said he is, he's just being nice to me, you know? So I sent it anyway. Yeah. I sent it, you know? And but then I thought, he's never going to submit a resume, but you did.
Yes.
Right, you did, and you ended up applying, and we met, and we talked, and we went through the process with, yeah. You know, and but it was really clear to us that this was you know, a great fit for us, and so it's really interesting for me to see how, you know, here we are on this side of things, and we're working through, and we're trying to figure out, God, where are you leading? What are you doing here? Where is this going? Mm. It's a sense in our heart that God is doing something. And then, but if I was to sit down 6 months ago and say, this is how it's going to unfold,
yeah.
I mean, who would have seen this coming?
Right.
Right? Like we wouldn't have seen this coming. And so it's just moments like this that God just works in multiple ways. And that's what I'm trying to communicate, probably poorly this morning, is that, you know what, there's God is working, and then there are these moments where it converges. Yeah. So we're thrilled you're here. We're thrilled
Thank
your
you.
Family's here. We're blessed by your ministry. All righty. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to invite Mary McLean to come for our second interview this morning. Thank you, John. I appreciate you sharing that time. Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Good.
I'm on.
You're on. So I think most of you probably know Mary, but if you don't, this is Mary McLean, and Mary's been a part of EPC for quite some time, and so the reason, you know, I'm interviewing you, Mary, is a while back, it was a Sunday morning at the end of a service, and people were kind of visiting, and you came up to me, and you expressed that God had been kind of dealing with you, and you'd been wrestling through becoming more involved, but you weren't really sure what that looked like, and you were maybe hoping that I could bring a little clarity to that for you. Sadly, I don't have Phoebe's gifts, so but just tell us a little bit about what was happening in your life as God was dealing with you in the sense of just becoming more involved. Tell me about that.
I think in my quiet times, I felt like God was breaking my heart. And as it was, Carlin kept leading with that worship song, Hosanna.
Yeah.
Show me how to love the way you have loved me and break my heart with the things that break your heart, Lord. And in my quiet times, I felt a broken heart. In the fall, I didn't see many of the people that I knew in this church were not coming here anymore. And it wasn't a secret, and you were so honest and preached about it and talked about it. But I saw so many new people that I didn't know. And I thought, God, you want to connect us, and you want us to love each other. And you want people to be brought into the church and experience the love that we have for each other. And the love that we have for God, and that they would know that love as they came in. So I felt like my heart was being broken. And one Sunday, as Pastor Shannon said, we were saying hello after the service, and our eyes kind of locked, and I said, my heart's breaking. And he kind of, I could see that he knew what I was talking about. And I said, my heart's breaking. How can I help in this church? Not like Jono it's the international kind of level at Jono's, but just in this local body of Christ that he loves so much. I said, how can I help?
Yeah, so God was working in your heart, and the Spirit of God working in you and kind of welling that up in you to do something, but you weren't sure what that might look like.
Oh.
So I suggested hey, you know what? Why don't we set up a time to meet? And why don't you come and see me, and we'll sit down and we'll talk it through and work it out. Now, in the meantime, while God was working in Mary's heart about something maybe not even clear yet what it was, but working in her heart, I had been personally burdened. You know, God had put an incredible burden on my heart for seniors in our congregation, specifically those who could no longer attend in person because of health reasons. And I had seen through the COVID season that there were some who were active pre-COVID that had just, their health had deteriorated over the COVID season to the point that most of them now are just watching via live stream. Hello out there today. And just feeling that burden for that. And probably because my parents were so much older when I was born, it was like growing up with your grandparents. So for me, there's always been that sense of, you know, what sort of, you know, needs to, some things that need to happen there. And so I knew that, you know, these seniors have meant so much to this church, built this church. We're here today because of their sacrifice and their serving and their giving and so on. And that they needed someone to connect with them, to visit them, to encourage them, to pray with them and so on. And so the challenge for me was finding the time. So the burden was there. I just thought, I can't get to it. And I mean, a month before COVID, we reduced our staff by 2 full-time people. And so coming out, things were just really, really, really busy. Even though the congregation was smaller, my experience was the workload wasn't. And so I was carrying that incredible burden. And so so when we met, as you were kind of elaborating a little bit more on what God was saying to you, I started to share with you what was burdening my heart as potentially something that could connect. So so tell me, you know, as I shared that, what was happening with you as I was sharing that?
Well, at first when you asked me, when you shared your burden for the shut-ins and people couldn't come to church anymore, that was not what I thought about when I said I would help. That wasn't what I had in mind, which I think is an interesting part of this.
Yeah.
It wasn't what I envisioned myself doing in the church. But I'm not sure that Pastor Shannon knew that I'd worked with seniors for 20 years, and that had been my education. And I think when I think of why I wasn't involved with seniors in the church previously, because I was working with seniors, and it reminds me of how when you ask a teacher to help in the Sunday school, to teach in the Sunday school, they usually say,
"Right,
I don't think so because..."
They've had enough of your kids all week. They don't want to see them
again
on Sunday.
That's what I do 5 days a
week. Yeah.
So I hadn't been involved.
Yeah.
But then the Lord quickly, in my quiet time, I didn't say yes when we met, but I got home and just...
But you had a look in your eye. I could see it.
Yeah. And I don't think Shannon knew that I had really worked in this area
before. I didn't, no.
And so that was kind of a Holy Spirit moment, I think.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that you didn't know that I had worked with seniors. And that part, and also just finding scriptures about encouraging and supporting our pastors really, really hit me at a good time, because I thought, I love working with seniors. That's why I got into the work in the beginning, and I grew up knowing my great-grandmother and my grandparents Yeah, so it was an easy yes, and I'm really excited about it.
As am I. I'm really excited, too. So tell us how you're preparing. Tell us a little bit how you're preparing to launch this ministry just for the congregation's interest.
That Sunday that I had, after I'd said yes to Pastor Shannon to become involved in this area, I kind of walked out after the service, and just the first person I met, she said, "We were just talking about that, visiting the shut-ins." Mm. And she said, "I'd love to work with you. I'd love to help you. And where is Susan Slauson?" Because it was Susan, a great friend of mine, who
she's
said she'd
too.
Work at the very back there. And so that just to me was part of the confirmation that this was the way God was leading. And funny enough, that Sunday, the other people I sort of kept mentioning to, people were really, really busy. They were busy with other work and reaching out to other people. So it's Susan and I at the moment, and we have, Pastor Shannon has a list of people who are shut in and need to be connected with the body through our visits. And so I mean, at this moment, I want to say, if you're interested,
sure,
come and speak to me, or speak to Susan Slauson, or speak to Monica in the office.
Yeah.
And we, at the moment, are putting a kind of a guideline book together for visiting. We expect that if we have teams of two, and they go and visit one of the shut-ins, it'll be kind of a monthly commitment at the moment. And hopefully friendships will be built and connections will be made. And I hope people think and pray about it, who the Lord might be calling to join us.
Wonderful.
And it would be a training, I think an informal training, maybe for us just to go out for a coffee and talk about the guidelines, and you would be visiting in pairs. So.
Wonderful, wonderful. Mary, I'm so excited that you're doing this. And yeah, and excited that, you know, because it's great that when you see God working in this way, that God is working in the hearts of individuals who feel burdened to do something, and then to be able to connect people to that, an opportunity, and see them come alive to that, and you just see that God is just, it's just working. He's just bringing all the pieces together, right? And you know, that's a story for you, but it's a story for many of us too, right? You know, as God is leading us. So thank you, Mary. I appreciate you. I appreciate you coming and sharing that with us this morning. God bless you. All righty. I'm going to invite our worship team back. We're going to conclude. I know it went a little longer this morning, but, you know, I just want to say, in the first few months of coming out of COVID, out of the shutdown, when we, it was the final shutdown, what I'm believing is the final ever shutdown, it really did seem bleak at times to us here at EPC. You know, attendance was about half of what it was before. Giving was way down, you know, but together we kept faithfully moving forward, and you remained faithful. And as I've shared before, you know, 70 to 80% of you were serving in some capacity, even though we were so much smaller, and just believing that, you know, where God was gonna move, and we were praying that God would help us become the church that He wanted us to be. It wasn't about trying to put back everything the way it was before, but it was, God, what do you want this next season to be here at EPC? And after a while, it seemed like, to be honest, like nothing was happening. You know, I'm thinking, God, like, it's time. Hello. You know, and but then suddenly things began to change, and attendance started growing, and new people started coming in, and new ministry opportunities are being planned, and the right people are filling the right roles as they're being led by the Holy Spirit. And overall, I believe there's a sense of hope with that, you know, and I believe, and I know some of you feel that too, because you share that with me. And so our prayer is that the Holy Spirit will continue to lead us and bring life to this place so we can be a community that serves and impacts the community around us, to be the community that God wants us to be so we can reach the community the way God wants us to reach. And I believe it's already happening, but I believe there's more to come. Amen? Why don't you stand this morning, and we're going to do one final song, and remember, there's coffee after.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord, tasted and seen. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, I'll welcome you. Comfort this place, fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Presence,
there's nothing worth more. Sift it up.
There's nothing worth more than will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living. Your presence. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, you are. Come flood this place, fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your praise. Come Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit, you are your presence, Lord. Yes. Your presence, Lord.
Let us become.
Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory. Your goodness, and let us become more aware of your presence. Yeah. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Yeah.
Just one more time, sing. Holy Spirit, sing it from your heart to the Lord.
Flood
this place and fill the atmosphere.
Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. You are welcome here. Father, we thank you that today we are reminded that the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives and in our families, in our church and all around our world. And Lord, you are working when we don't see it and when we don't feel it and we don't acknowledge it or understand it. But we do thank you for those moments when it seems like it all comes together and we have that moment of, okay, I see it now. And we celebrate that today. That's what we're doing here at EPC this morning. We're celebrating just two samples of how you're leading different people in different areas of their lives and how that comes together and converges with your bigger purpose and your bigger plan of what you're trying to accomplish and how we might be a part of it. And so, Lord, for all of us this morning, we stand here and we say, we want to see your kingdom come. We want to serve you. We want to be available to be used of you. And Lord, we pray that you would lead us in our own lives, stir up within us so that we might be able to do the things that you have prepared us to do in a way that honors you, that touches the hearts and lives of people, and honors you as we live our lives for you. Father, I thank you that we are able to be here today. I pray that you would continue to work in our lives and in our families, that you would touch us, bring healing to us, strength to us, encouragement to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Coffee's ready, tea. If you can hang around, great. If you have to go, God bless you. We'll